Chapter 16. In the stairwell, I studied the scarf, thinking about what Bill Dutcher had said about articles of clothing being blown onto the roof of the place. I also thought about the bits of red prayer flag I'd found tied to the juniper tree at the Rosebud, and how they seemed to match perfectly. It was a rough kind of silk, well worn with tied threads on the ends forming a kind of fringe. No label, no name, and no Genie One Moon. I reflected back to my experiences in the mountains with Virgil White Buffalo a couple of years back, when I thought I might be losing my mind. To settle my agitation, I put my hand to my collarbone and could still feel through the fabric of my shirt the silver ring with the circling turquoise and coral wolves hanging on a chain. Pushing the door back open, I returned to the roof, turned the corner, and looked at my path to the railing across the snow-covered expanse, where there were only my footprints leading there and back. It was about then that I decided I wasn't telling anybody about what had happened here. With a sigh, I draped the scarf around my neck, kicked the brick from the doorway, and then started down the steps. Wondering where the heck my Indian scout had gotten off to, I moved down the metal stairwell, peered from the catwalk through the steel rafters, and could see that there were cheerleaders and a band playing on the court. Halftime. I reached the office level and met the young woman I'd seen in the suite. She was still carrying the laptop, but now had it bundled up for the trip home.
Find your culprits?
No. I guess that means you haven't seen them either.
I'm afraid not.
She started off down the steps and then turned to look back up at me.
Nice scarf.
Well, at least I wasn't the only one who could see it. Thanks. I stood there for a moment more and then followed after her, watching through the glass as she continued toward the parking lot. I hadn't seen Henry on the sidelines when I'd looked down at the court, and I didn't think the bear was out in the parking lot, so that left only the next flight down. Why would he ever have gone that way? And more important, why would he have stayed? Had he had an experience similar to mine? And even if he had, where was he now? At the bottom of the stairs was another heavy door, which I pushed open to reveal the lower concourse flanked by storage areas. One of the doors hung slightly ajar, so I pushed it and watched the motion sensor lights flicker. Chairs. Thousands and thousands of chairs. A labyrinth of empty chairs that must have been when the facility was being used as a concert space. The theater-style seats were maroon and black and stacked six high, and there was a constant thrumming sound that made it difficult to hear or be heard from more than 50 feet away. I must have been close to the inner workings of the building. There was a short concrete walkway to my left, and then a really long one to my right. If I committed to the long one, I wasn't sure how far I'd have to go before taking another direction or doubling back, so I took the short one. It was a tactic that worked for about 10 yards before it jogged to the right and went straight ahead, leading to another labyrinth of stacked seating like the one I'd just seen. I was about to turn back when I could have sworn I heard something. Automatically, I reached to the small of my back when I remembered that I'd locked my sidearm away in the center console of my truck, because I figured the administrative staff of the Metro probably wasn't open to having their coaches prowling the sidelines armed. I turned a corner and started down an incredibly long aisle. Lights here were on sensors as well, and they flickered on as I approached. When the nearest one sputtered, I noticed something on the floor and kneeled down to dab a finger in what was certainly blood. Putting my hand up to my face, I smelled it, to be sure, and then saw that there was more of the stuff spattered on one of the large air circulation tubes near the floor. If I was to make an educated guess, I would say that someone had been shot, and because I knew Henry was not carrying a sidearm, it was most likely that it was he who had gotten tagged. There was a break in the stacked chairs with just enough room to crawl through to the other side, and there lay my friend. Crouching down, I pulled myself through the cramped space and gripped his leg. "That is where I am shot." "Sorry. Why didn't you say something?" "Because I thought you might be the person who shot me." "This is interesting. I'm the one who usually catches a bullet." I studied his leg, his jeans blood-soaked and torn near his calf. "How bad?" I do not think I can walk on it, but the bullet passed through without striking the bone.
Let's get you up.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I am fine and comfortable. You need to go find the shooter.
Who was it?
I do not know, but I am assuming it is Schiller. There was a noise in the stairwell, and I followed it down here, heard someone in this storage area, and gave pursuit. I was running down that row when I heard the shot and felt it hit my leg. I fell, and by the time I looked over there, there was no one. I'm not leaving you here. He made a disgusted sound. There is someone here, armed. You have responsibilities. He sat up a bit, and I helped him prop himself against one of the folded seats. If it is Schiller, he may attempt to get Jaya, and you must stop him.